All right, we'll call the meeting to order. And why don't we start out with the Civil Service Commission?
Good evening, Chairman and committee members. I hope I live up to the anticipation this evening. All right, so we'll start with Civil Service Commission. That's on page 325. 325. This is, again, a very fairly steady budget. We've ticked up $5,000 for fitness testing related to recruitment. In 2018 and 2019, we conducted two deputy exams each of those years. Previously, we were running every other year. Part of that is due to turnover, and part of that is due to turnout for the exams. So we're seeing ourselves engage in the recruitment process more frequently. So otherwise, pretty much unchanged.
All right, is there a discussion on this? John?
Motion.
Second.
All right. Further discussion? Anyone? All right. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. We'll continue on then with our discussion on health insurance, and then we'll talk about the wages as well. You had a memo the other day from Barna on John Poole's proposition, and when we adjourned the meeting, his proposal was on the floor. So why don't you, Barna, briefly explain what your position is.
Okay.
John, you can respond to that. We'll open it up for discussion, and we'll see where we are, and we'll take a vote on it and go from there.
Okay. So as you stated in the meeting, I was asked to take a look at the analysis and look it over and check the numbers. So after doing that, I pulled together an analysis. The most common hourly rate that was listed on there, when I went to try to determine where that or how that was derived, I could not come to that. So it's not an average, it's not the median hourly rate. The 3% immediately underneath that talks about an annual hourly increase, and that was, I believe, calculated from that hourly rate. But as I explained in the analysis, that the 3% annual increase off the midpoint of each employee's wage range falls on their anniversary date, and there's just as many people that are in the first half of the year as in the second half of the year. So the effect of that kind of hourly or a wage increase is typically 50% of an entire year's worth. So that calculation should be half as much as what's shown there. Some of the other comparisons that were in the boxes on the front and back, comparing the increases to the employee contributions, those did not take into account the 1% that's already in the budget proposed increase to those levels. So the comparisons in the boxes were also off because of that 1%. And the last thing had to do with the levy increase. The levy increase shown on that includes the library assessment, which is not the general county purpose levy. So the appropriate number to use there would be the $1.987 million that is in the budget currently, less whatever adjustments have been made mm-hmm. to date. So something we were able to pull together, because I have members on my budget team that are very good at data dumping and pulling together. So something that we were able to do and take all the county's employees' expected salaries increases based on what's being proposed in the budget, and then compared that to the increase that's currently in the budget for employee contributions, and then how it would compare to the employee contributions if the additional 3% was tacked on to each one of those levels. So with the proposed budget, only less than 2% of all county employees would see potentially an overall reduction when you net it out, the increase of their salaries versus the premium contribution. And of those, all of those people are in the bronze category. And those individuals have an opportunity from now until the end of the year to do a few things to get to a silver level. So those potentially I could dry up, reduce that even small percentage from there. When we did the same analysis with adding the 3% to the, each one of those vitality status levels for employee contribution, 22.28% of all county employees would see an overall reduction when they compared their wage increases to the premium and premium contribution rate increases. Something else that we were able to pull from the data was that 66.3% of all county employees are below that $26.34 wage range that was hourly rate that was on the analysis. So that by definition wouldn't be the most common when two-thirds of county employees are less below that. Another item that we gleaned from the information was that nearly 30% of all county employees are in sensitive, high turnover, lower wage positions, which include CNAs from Brookside, direct supervision officers, correctional officers from the jail, and patrol workers. And if those additional 3% were added to the premium contributions, nearly 8% of all county employees in those categories would actually take on less when all everything was netted out. The last piece was the actual detail, 10-page report that showed in the far right column all the negative amounts with the deficits that employees would incur with the adding the 3%, and the column two columns over to the left would be the amount that they would have more than would be the net increase when they netted out the wage increases. So I think that's the extent. If anyone has any questions.
John. What do you think? You're saying 26.34 most common rate used in the document presented. What would you say is the average county employee's salary under this?
Well, see, that's the thing with statistical. The average takes into account higher, mm-hmm. and then there's lower. So you could have, you could have somebody making $150,000 that could skew the whole thing, mm-hmm. because it's an average.
And I said 66 and a third are below 26.34 most common rate.
Right. So
what would you
probably
know,
20?
Said what's
$20 to $22 an hour would probably be more like an average.
Go ahead.
Well, when I calculated, I took out the salaried people because I was just trying to do the average Joe, and I also took out the sheriff's department because they're on a contract, so
right,
and they don't have to pay health insurance. And then when I did the average, it came up to 23.39, and then I said, well, give me the mode, which is the most common number that appeared there. And that's how I got the average came up to 23.39. I think the mode then was the 26.34.
So. Further discussion here? Could you read back, or John, restate the motion, then we'll vote unless there's further discussion.
I'll withdraw the motion.
Okay. All right, so do you have anything else to report?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
can we do wages first, or did you want to get the
No, I want to continue this health insurance
issue.
That's where we left off. So.
Slightly different. I've updated the last page on what was emailed out. Just to provide a little more information. Not different numbers, just more.
Put this in the current one.
I have it.
Okay?
The new one.
I have it.
Is that it?
So another tree.
Anybody else good? I got enough paper.
So the first two slides provide the out-of-network information on the proposed plan that Supervisor Gentz had requested. Do you want me to go back through the whole summary? Or
Say that again. I was thinking.
The out-of-network
okay,
benefits
yep.
on the first, the proposed plan are listed there. So you'll see the difference in deductible, coinsurance, and out-of-pocket maximum. And then the next two slides.
Sorry.
Sure.
Is it the
80-20?
Oh, okay. Got it.
So this is the summary for the 80-20 plan design that Supervisor Nudo asked us to outline for you. So the difference between our proposed plan and that plan is the coinsurance, where our plan provided for 90-10, meaning the member would pay 10% out of pocket. In this scenario, the member would pay 20% out of pocket after reaching the deductible. So the deductible is the same, coinsurance goes up, where the member pays 20%. And then the out of pocket maximum would drop to $5,000 and $10,000. The savings to the county, the difference from our proposed plan would be $661,000. Decrease to the levy would reduce the net overall county levy to 1.982%, given everything else the same as it was proposed. But I will point out that that $660,000 will be paid for by employees who use the plan under this design. So what this really does is put more upfront out-of-pocket cost on that medium user, if you will, that moderate utilizer, because once they meet their deductible, they're going to be paying 20% until they hit the out-of-pocket maximum, rather than only 10% on our proposed plan. And to give you an idea of how that plays out, the last two slides show the low utilizer, moderate utilizer, and high utilizer. And the difference in this presentation compared to the one we emailed out is that we put all three together, just so you had it there in front of you.
Just to repeat on this 80-20 plan, the only difference is it the 80-20?
The 80-20 and the out-of-pocket maximum is lower than our proposed plan.
Okay, his is 5 and yours is 7.
Ours is 6 and 12, his is 5 and 10.
And yours is 6 and 12. So... I mean, if we're going to go that route of 90-10, 80-20, 70-30, that percentage has always been rejected in your office, your predecessor came here time and time again, probably for 20 years, arguing against that because he said that would encourage utilization, and now you're saying this encourages it, that discourages it. So if we go 90-10, I can see that going 80-20 next year. Why aren't we starting then with what you really want, and that's 80-20?
That's not what the...
Well, I understand that's what you're saying now, but last year the arguments that you used were the arguments that your predecessor used to oppose this kind of proposal, and said that our old proposal encouraged consumerism, people wouldn't be utilizing it as much as they would with this. There's the same arguments.
Chairman, I do recall last year saying that in our open enrollment meetings and employee education sessions, I would be encouraging healthcare consumerism and I would be educating on healthcare consumerism. I will tell you, when I was in front of employees and pointing out to them that if they did do a little shopping and looked at lower cost options, for example, as I said before, you're at the hospital, you're meeting with your doctor, and they send you down for testing. If you have the option to go across the street, you're probably going to spend a lot fewer of the county's dollars, the plan's dollars. But the cost doesn't make any difference under our current plan to the employee.
So why don't we go to if we're going to go the percentage route, my point is, why not just go the 80-20, because that's where you're going to end up either next year or the following year. Why not have, why are we just sticking our toe in the water?
Well, there certainly, the plan we have today compared to the 80-20 plan is a shocking difference, I think, to employees.
I agree.
So this is, in other words, this is a stepping stone to 80-20. That's, your goal is 80-20. You're getting them used to 90-10. Then why don't you just make that step?
My goal is not the 80-20 today.
Well, I see the direction that we're going. It's going to be 80-20, if not next year, the following year. It just stands to reason.
Well, I think the market and, of course, the county's financial position would determine that in the future.
Discussion? Yes.
I'm a bit confused. So, which one is the new one? The one on the right?
Administration is proposing the one in the middle. The one on the right is the one Supervisor Nudo proposed. The one on the left is what we have.
Okay, so this is the admin.
You'll see up the 90-10 is what we're proposing. The 80-20 is Supervisor Nudo's
proposal. Thank you.
So the two differences are the percentage and plus the 501,000 versus you're going to have a higher deductible.
The out-of-pocket maximum, not the deductible. The deductibles are the same. It's the coinsurance and out-of-pocket maximum that differ between the two plans.
Anybody else? Yes.
So this is going to lower our levy down to 1.982, if this is adopted, you're saying?
Given everything else that was originally proposed in the budget.
Right. And with the 170-some thousand, it would be even less than that now.
I think that's the future.
The 170?
The 173,800 that's been approved by this finance committee in prior budget hearing meetings.
So we argue the same.
This is not taking that into consideration.
20 years, are you?
Okay.
I just have one comment. When you're talking about if we're gonna go there next year, why not go there this year?
Yeah.
You know, the out of pocket is less in the proposed 80-20 plan as well. So, I mean, I would argue we could go to the out of pocket max right away as well. So I think, you know, all of these things will change each year depending on how healthcare costs flow and how the budget goes. So I guess we could also say let's go to a high deductible plan and be really extreme. So I think we just need to keep all of those things in mind and how we take baby steps and satisfy other recruitment and retention issues.
Further discussion? Yes, Gabe.
Could you elaborate a little bit?
You got to speak up, Gabe.
Okay. Can't hear you.
Really?
I believe you say that if we use the 80-20, we're going to be saving like $661,000, but the cost would be added to the employees. I really don't see it. Maybe I'm not looking at it the right way, because if they go to the maximum, you know, the $4,000, $5,000, $10,000, whatever it is, which is in some cases, actually they would be saving $1,000. Now, somewhere in the middle, someone will pay a little bit more, but it's not going to be how much of a difference. Because they're going to have to pay the $500,000. Maybe just a little bit more now, maybe it's going to cost them a couple hundred dollars more, so it would be somewhere in the three. So I don't believe it's going to be, unless, again, I'm looking and you can show me how is it different.
So
and we're all guessing on what anybody's going to say.
Sure.
I guess, especially with the family, let's say a couple with two, three kids, very easy, never going to reach the top. And if they do reach the top, those people are going to save $2,000.
So, I mean, I would say a very small portion are going to reach the out-of-pocket maximum. It seems like it's easy to get to, but the difference between 10% and 20% doesn't seem like a lot, but it's essentially double. Once my deductible is met, you know, I'm either paying, you know, in this example here, a moderate user, they go from paying $35 for an x-ray to $70, $150 for an x-ray to $300. So, I mean, they're that 10 to 20% is doubling someone's out-of-pocket until they get to that maximum. And I guess, yes, if they're hitting their out-of-pocket maximum, they're saving money and the county's paying more. However, I would say, shouldn't the individual who's costing the county more also pay more? Right? When they're having catastrophic claims and the county's paying out hundreds of thousands of dollars, I think $1,000 more for them is reasonable.
And the number of our employees, at least based on claims experience, that hit that high utilizer is less than 5%, where they're maxing out. The majority are in that middle, so by volume, it raises
that. Again, looking at the low, it's a breaking number. It's the same.
Yes.
Okay, and the moderate, it's a difference of about $695. Because we have 2,052 versus 3,737. So it's $695 difference. And the last one, it's a saving of $1,000. So my average account is about 3 months.
Again,
that's the thing that
it's the vast majority in that middle that is paying that much more that really amplifies that.
Okay. By the way, I appreciate giving me those numbers.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, Supervisor Nudo, it's not 670 because we're going from what we're paying now. So really, it's $1,000 bump to the employees.
I'm talking about the difference
between the
right, the 80-20. I mean, I'm just looking at what administration proposed.
Right.
And if you want to say what I suggested or proposed, you know, those are the two that I'm bringing in play.
Right.
Otherwise, yeah, then we'll
right. And I'm looking at it from what the employee would have to pay, which would be $1,000. Okay.
Okay.
Further discussion.
So, under the 80-20 plan, the idea is that that maximum, that high user, someone who has a catastrophic illness or, you know, what have you, they'd be saving money compared to what's being proposed by administration, correct? Now, isn't the idea of health insurance, I mean, nobody wants to get sick, but when you do, you know you have it, you don't have to worry about, you know what I mean? So I think that's the inside of, you know, you gotta look at your pros and cons. There's more of that, that you know, the con is if you're in the middle and you're paying, you know, $695 more than what's being proposed, or $1,000 compared to what we have now, but you look long-term, I mean, I think there's more security in that 80-20, knowing that it's not, you know, it's not going to lead to a BK or, you know what I mean? That there is, I mean, because we're paying in many other facets of paid time off, and you guys would know better than I do all the little abbreviations they have for all FM, whatever that is. And I think that's substantial, bringing the levy down to 1.98 by making this jump. And to go off what Chairman Rose was saying, is this 80-20 plan is going to happen. Let's do it. We might as well cross that bridge. We're at the foot of the bridge now. Let's cross the bridge.
So this plan here, both of the plans, what Gabe has presented, what you presented, presumes the employee wage proposal that the administration has proposed, 2%, et cetera, would pass, correct?
No. It's nothing.
They're separate.
With the wage.
Okay.
Right.
Anyone else?
I'll make a motion to approve the administration's insurance plan.
I'll second it.
All right. Further discussion? Further discussion? All right, I think we'll take a roll call. Jeff?
Aye.
Ron?
Yes.
Aye.
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 Aye. All right, that passes. We'll move on to the wage proposal. Yes.
I'd like to make a motion on the wage proposal. I would like to have 2% for the red circled people. I'd like to leave the middle ground on the step increases. I'd like to add 1% to the middle 3% that are in the step increases on their anniversary, and 1% the last day of the year for those middle people. I have a handout. I had this done by Barna so that we all can look at it. So, in essence, it's very close to what was proposed, but we are pushing some off. We will get a tax levy savings of about $165,000, which with the subtractions in the levy to this point will bring it down to about 2.46, which for the record, I just can't approve a budget that's 2.5 or more, because that's what the whole resolution was for the levy limit increase. So, I mean, if we're going to go through that exercise, we have to keep the levy down. So this is what I propose, and we can have any questions at that point.
Okay, just to repeat here, so you're saying 2% January 1st to only the red circle people, or to everyone?
2% to the red circle people.
On their anniversary
day. On their anniversary day.
And nothing to anyone else?
No. 3%, which is the normal thing that they get with this kind of step increases, and 1% on their anniversary date. The changes are in red. 1% on their anniversary date, and then 1% at the end of the year. So basically, I'm doing what was proposed, but pushing off a piece to bring the levy down. Yes. That's what I do.
Yeah, so basically what you're saying is we're going to give them a raise, but we're going to do it in the front end and then a little bit on the back end, correct?
Correct.
And then therefore we stick under the 2.5%.
Correct.
Terry?
Yes.
So I'm a county employee, and instead of getting the 2%, I'm going to get 1% in January, is that it?
No.
Anniversary.
If you have the red circle people who are really not in line to get anything. We passed a compensation study, so we set up the midpoint of the whole thing, and that's about, you know, 800 of our 1,000 employees, roughly, okay? 900 of our employees. So they're in there, and they're going to get a raise, a 3% raise at their midpoint. I wanted to increase, give something to the red circle people, because it's not fair that they're not getting anything, so I wanted to put the 2%, give that to them. and it'll all be on their anniversaries, which is the way they pay. If I did it any other way, I'd screw everything up. So it has to be on the anniversary of their hire. And then I'm going to increase the mid people that were just supposed to get the 3% because of the compensation study by 1% on their anniversary date and 1% at the end of the year. So instead of giving them 2% on their anniversary date, I'm pushing 1% off to the end of the year, and I'm saving us the tax levy so that we're under the 2.5. I apologize if it's not crystal clear, but Barna can answer any questions.
Sure. Well, it's crystal clear.
Oh, okay.
But it's still not giving them what we're going to give them to begin with, right?
No, yeah. They're going to get what they... It's yeah, just if there's a 1% delay on the middle people who really are in the middle of a wage study, compensation study anyway.
Compensation okay. plan.
Yeah. Supervisor, Chairman Esposito wanted to talk.
So Dan, clear, it's basically this exact same that administration proposed, except that they're going to get their raise on the end of the year.
1%
of the 1% of the two. Yeah. So it's exactly the same. Except you're going out to the end of the year.
Correct.
Great job, Supervisor Gans.
Which means they really get nothing for that year.
They get the
1%. They get 3% plus 1%
on for that month.
They get 4%.
The one that 4%. That is effective at the end of the year would end up being distributed out in 2021.
Yeah.
So they get 4%.
Thus, they would not get that in
correct.
2020. Yeah, John.
It seems to me we're just kicking the can down the road, and I will not be supporting that.
Discussion.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear probably what were you saying? Kicking the can down the road?
Yep.
How would that be?
Well, you're doing it on December 31st. Why don't we talk about it in next year's budget? Instead of right here.
Well, we're here now.
So I actually think it's like, yeah, I think that's a good idea because that'll guarantee them their 1% at the end of the year.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
We won't have to worry about budgeting
right.
for that.
Right.
Because it's there.
Right.
So the wage chart would be 2020 wage chart, not 2019. So where's the red circled person? That person moves up a notch, correct?
So someone who would be red circled at the end of this year, meaning they were at their maximum.
Right.
With the wage schedule moving up that 2%, that person next year on their anniversary, instead of being at the ceiling, they might have a little more capacity for an increase to get them up to the next maximum. So that 2% that they would get, plus there might be a little something extra if they're not quite up to the new ceiling.
All right, further discussion? Yes.
So that 1.982 that we just voted for and it was going to bring it down to in the health insurance, now we're going to go back up to 2.46, right?
No. The 1.98 was for the 80-20 plan that Supervisor
Kudos. We're at 2.9 right now.
Okay, so that's gone. Okay.
Right.
You don't do this, you're coming in about 2.75.
Yeah,
you are.
That have been adopted or recommended.
Well, you're coming in actually a little bit under what the majority.
What the board passed as far as a levy limit resolution.
Right, right.
Yeah.
All right, further discussion, anyone? Yes, Zach.
I like what you're getting at here, but I'm trying to think I understand where John's coming from. By putting that at December 31st, that's 1% that instead of getting it starting in January this year, it'd be January 2021. But we've got to consider that's going to be part of the levy then for that year's budget. And I mean, has finance or HR kind of taking a look at that and what that impact may be?
There's a lot of things that we budget for that end up bleeding into next year's. We feel that on a $260 million budget, this $164,000, something else will take care of it. So we won't have a material effect on next year's budget.
So when the check proposes his budget, he's going to include that in his budget?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have to.
And then we can prove it's baked in. We want to do it next year.
We're at 2.7 now?
You're at about 2.75 approximately. I don't know the exact numbers. This is going to maybe 2.73.
2.71.
2.71. I apologize. Yes. Thank you, Barna. So, I mean, we do nothing and our tax levy is above the resolution that we passed. This will get us below it. So.
All right, further discussion, Gabe.
The 1% that will go into effect in 2021, basically.
Yep.
Hold on, wait a second, sorry. I think we didn't mention a number, but how much would that be?
It would be approximately $125,000.
About
$125,000.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, you, I believe, had made the motion. Talk. Is there nobody seconded?
I did.
You did.
Yeah, it's not.
All right. Some further discussion. Well, then we'll have a take a roll call. Jeff.
Yes.
Yes.
John.
No.
Yes.
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 Yes. All right. It passes. All right. Then we'll move on. Is there anything else that you have?
Traditionally, I run through the summary of personnel changes and reclassifications. Do you want to do that?
We do.
Sure.
What? Okay, what? Page 31?
Page 30 is the summary of budgeted personnel changes. So you would have heard about all of these, of course, as the departments introduced their budgets, but just to summarize, so in the top section, the positions being eliminated for human services at Brookside, dietary assistant, that's due to the attrition as they leave, those positions go to Unidyne, our contractor for those services. And then we have the RN shift supervisor that is in the little bit of restructuring that's being done at Brookside with the director of clinical operations position. They anticipate the succession plan there would open up or eliminate the need for that RN shift supervisor. Human services in the health department, administrative assistant senior and the KLIFH coordinator, those were both from that grant, the KLIFH grant that went away. The human services Willowbrook executive director position, if you recall, that was the position that Fran held during the succession to Linda Bondala, so that goes away. Public Works, Planning and Development, County Conservationist, that's that 0.25 position that was talked about last night. That was, again, part of a succession plan, and that employee has now retired. And then the Highway Senior Transportation Engineer, again, that is part of some movement there. They're returning to a shop superintendent role in Public Works. So the senior transportation engineer position, which was not currently filled, is being eliminated. So moving down to the, I think there's a question on it.
Yes.
The county conservationist, was that, I know we talked about that at SPDEC. I thought we were looking for somebody to fill that. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah, he's already been hired.
So this was what was left of the person who retired.
Okay.
There were some hours as he kind of brought the new person up.
Okay, I think, yeah, and he said they reduced the salary, right? Okay, all right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So in the positions added section, human services, Brookside, director of clinical operations would be a new role that Linda is looking to have filled by Barb Beardsley. This would be a lateral move for her. just a different use of her skill set. Human services, health, public health nurse. This is grant funded home visiting for the PAT program, so it's levy neutral. Human services, Willowbrook, environmental services worker. This is a 0.4 FTE. This is someone to come in and do the deep cleaning to the units when residents leave. So the resident assistants currently help the residents with light housekeeping, but when they move out, they need them deep cleaned before the residents move in. So that's what that role would fill. Law enforcement district attorney. The social worker one is the victim witness specialist. Law enforcement sheriff, deputy sheriff. This, we have two FTEs. This is contingent upon the contracts with the villages, Summers, and Salem Lakes. So they won't be filled unless they're basically levy neutral in terms of having the funding through the contracts.
Correct.
And then the next one, sheriff sergeant. They spoke about this. This is a sergeant to fill that supply sergeant role, if you will, to administer equipment and train employees, that kind of thing. Public works, highways, patrol worker, laborer. This is 0.8 FTE, and this is for anticipated additional lane miles that will need servicing. Guidance here is that those roles would not be filled until after August of 2020. So that's why that's a 0.8 FTE. And then the shop superintendent, as I said, is returning shop supervision role to the shop out at Highways. Any questions on those?
Yes. Exactly.
Where's the 13, just for my own curiosity, where's the 13,000 coming from for the highway patrol, labor?
Revenue.
State revenue.
State revenue. Okay. We do state tax.
And then I do want to throw in there too, what the DA is asking for, the extra victims advocate.
Victim witness.
That my family's had some personal experience, you know, in the system, and those ladies do an incredible job. And when he's asking for another, I've seen firsthand what they do for witnesses, for victims. And I mean, that's something that I told him right off the bat I'd happily support, and I think we all should tonight as well.
Anything else?
The next page is the reclassifications. So the vast majority of these are from resulting from the comp study that we did. Others are requested by departments, and some of these are simply title change only, so they have no impact on levy. Do you want me to go through each one, or?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, all right. So administrative assistant, that's countywide. Many departments, divisions have administrative assistants. You'll see that while there are a number of positions, there's limited cost because many of them are already well above maximum. I'll just mention, when a position is reclassified under these means, what happens is the employee next year on their anniversary would receive 3% of their new midpoint in their new range. So that's the financial impact of being reclassified for the most part.
That makes sense.
Manager fiscal services, again, this is countywide. There are several, six throughout the county. The director of human resources, going up one. Human resources assistant, this is actually a reclassification down one pay grade. Again, that was a result of the compensation study. Communications manager, in IT, along with customer service manager, network technician, those are all going up one. The IT network technician public safety role would be reclassified to a data architect. Senior network engineer, going up one classification. Land information real property lister, this one is jumping up three. We were way behind in this position according to the comp study. Director of finance, moving up one. Payroll specialists, we have four of those in the county, and that is going up two. Again, we were far behind market on that. Purchasing buyer, going up one. Human services, Brookside admissions marketing manager, this is a title change only, to admissions social services director, just to better represent the role. Brookside chief building maintenance, going up one, and you'll note chief building maintenance for facilities, those positions are going up one as well, but Brookside has in its own budget. Life enrichment director, title change only to life enrichment manager, it just fits their hierarchy better. Brookside unit secretary, going up one, this role is equivalent to the administrative assistant. Human services, children and family services manager, going up one. Clinical services director for health, that title change to clinical services manager only. It's not a pay grade change. Epidemiologist, this one would be going up two as well. Again, we are well behind market in that position. Nurse practitioner, we're bumping up one. We actually posted for a nurse practitioner this year and had zero applicants. Human services, veterans, administrative assistant, reclassing to a veterans benefits representative. Our administrative assistant in the veterans office earned the certifications that allow her to be a benefits representative. Human services, these next several in child support, these are title changes only. The state is moving away from enforcement in their titles, so they're looking to just simply remove that enforcement term. Human services, workforce development, economic support program manager, going up one. Circuit court services manager, going up one. District attorney investigator, going up one. Chief building maintenance, spoke about those, going up one. As well as facilities maintenance manager, director of golf, ground supervisor, golf. And then going into public works highways, operations superintendent, moving up one. Patrol superintendent, this is title change only to state highways supervisor. Patrol worker laborer, going up one. The financial impact here because of the number of patrol worker laborers that we have. Road group lead, going up one, as well as director of parks and recreation. Grant specialist development coordinator, going up two. That's Nancy Rotano. Does excellent work and getting grants. Park superintendent, going up one. And land use specialist, going up one.
That concludes the report.
Yes.
All right, discussion.
I do have one other piece. I'm sorry, reclassifications. Pardon me. I have a lot of material.
And what is this?
This is on reclassifications. So this is through the IT department.
This is a reclassification?
So IT has created this staff development classification system to address their ever-evolving industry. It's constantly advancing and innovating. So they've devised a plan that would allow their staffers to move up classifications as they earn years of experience, advance their skills and their certifications and all of the different programs and applications, and as they earn additional degrees. So this system would allow an IT staffer to be placed into the next classification after meeting those advancements if and only if they are successfully performing in their jobs. This process wouldn't allow IT to go beyond their salaries budget, but it would allow them to move someone up who has earned those milestones, if you will, advancing in skills and education by virtue of achieving that. We currently have this program in only one other area, and that's with social worker. So as social workers advance, they can be moved up.
Well, why don't we vote on what on these that we discussed? This is a plan that we can talk about immediately, but I think we ought to vote on the report here, which involves dollars and cents. And if you want to adopt this or not, that's up to you following this, because I think there, I don't think we should mix this with this.
Okay.
Well, the presentation last night from IT was that was part of it, right?
No. Sure. All right, why don't we talk about those positions that we, the three categories here, the elimination, the added, and the reclassifications. Why don't we vote on those separately? First, the eliminated, discussion on that?
I vote to approve it.
All right, is there a second?
Second.
All right, discussing the eliminated position further. Right. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, then the added positions, it's the 7.7 she outlined.
Motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Did somebody, somebody said a question?
Well, there's a sneeze up there.
All right.
Perfect time for that.
Winner.
Who's that one, please?
The chairman.
Oh, wife, of course. no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, then the reclassifications that you just heard about.
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, then why don't we talk about this development classification? Yeah.
Well, is this like an automatic thing that doesn't come before anybody? It's just happens?
Well, it wouldn't just happen. The employee would have to achieve the metrics.
Yeah, but nobody knows about it but IT, right? It doesn't come to finance. You don't report on it. It doesn't come to the board. It's just...
The idea is that they wouldn't have to come to the committee and create the that transition, right? There wouldn't have to be an open position for them to be classified up to the next level. They could certainly report on it to the committee, absolutely.
Well, I know, but why is they being treated differently than anybody else?
Again, it's the nature of IT work, and Sean Smith, the Director, you could speak if you'd like, Mr. Chairman.
Sure. Go ahead, Sean.
Well, the focus was to create the job positions so that they existed. Right now, not all of the job positions exist at all. So, for example, we might have a job position that would, like if you look at the project manager one section, there's a project coordinator And what we're asking to have the project coordinator, a project manager, and then another pilot portfolio manager. It just represents career progression for these people so that they have something to work for. Right now, if we don't have that job description or job title, there's additional work in getting that created. And first and foremost, what we wanted to do is create the structure so that as we build development plans for our staff, we can show them what they're working toward. So first and foremost, that was the main plan on this. And then if it was granted, you know, it would be terrific if we had the ability to move them up when they achieved it. But I don't think anyone...
It wouldn't add to FTE count.
Correct. It wouldn't add to FTE count, and we would never exceed salary, our annual salary requirements or anything of that nature. And it provides us the ability to keep people progressing and give them that opportunity.
Yeah.
I guess I would need somebody to explain to me. First of all, they get any other wage increase that anybody else in the county gets, right? So they get their normal, if they're in the step situation, they're getting that. How can you have a salary line item that's not complete, and then you're going to raise people and give them increases under a salary limit? I don't understand how that's going to work. I mean, do we budget, like, do we give just extra in all salaries, or what is that?
We budget at 100%. So if there is 0% vacancy, they wouldn't be able to do this. But as we know, there are going to be...
So if there's a vacancy, they can do this.
Correct.
Because I wouldn't imagine we would leave a gap in salaries so people can rise up.
Right. No.
Okay.
All right. Are there vacancies you need to talk
about? Two. We currently are sitting at two vacancies. That's something that we regularly do need to deal with.
You regularly have two vacancies?
Not necessarily two, but on an ongoing basis, there's one to two that we are trying to keep. And there's always a retention challenge in IT. It's something that we regularly... The salaries that we make at the county are certainly competitive within other county structures, I believe, but they're not always as competitive with private industry. So we do lose people there sometimes. And one of the things that we're hoping to do is when a person starts with county IT, so one of the positions is a programmer. That's all there is. There's just a programmer. They don't necessarily see any opportunity in a plan that says, oh, I can progress to here and I can go to here. This helps us build and show them a real progression and development plan as they build a career here at the county.
I think our question is, or I'm sensing, is why shouldn't that come before the board? That's a reclassification. The idea is all right, but why shouldn't that reclassification happen annually?
It doesn't always present itself annually, so we might have the opportunity someone has achieved the certification in the middle of the year, or if they've achieved that certification or the other qualifications that we set forth, then we'd like to be able to move them up at that time.
Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with what you said, because at the end of the year in every budget, we're going to be able to look at your salaries and your FTEs and make a determination. I just wanted to make sure there was no cushion between the tops, the salary number we're approving, and the ability to move people up. So as long as you're dealing with vacancies and you're keeping it under the salary number, I'm okay with that. I just needed clarification on that. But at the end of the year, when they reach that, you don't have any vacancies and you want to deal with changes and reclassifications, you have to bring them forward to us anyway.
Yes, sir.
So,
absolutely.
All right.
Okay.
Further discussion? No one?
I'll approve the plan. I'll make a motion to approve the plan.
I'll second it.
All right, discussion on the motion?
I think it'll help us with retention.
Discussion? Yes, Zach.
So I think I understand. You're stuck with so many dollars where you can't just promote somebody because they've achieved this. There has to be that vacancy. I understand that much. But now you say like it's going to come back at the end of the year. So are you, under this plan, are you able to reclassify them mid-year?
Under this plan, we would be able to do that, yes. That is what we are requesting.
But not have additional dollars for that reclassification other than what they have.
So essentially it would be, you know, budget time. Somebody moves up in June, for the next budget time when that comes around, you're going to tell us, hey, by the way, somebody did move up, so we're reclassifying or eliminating. Or
it would be reflected. So in all of the department and division, you've got the FTE summary, and it would be reflected in there.
Okay. I think it's a good plan. I mean, we got to show our employees that they can have a future with the county. So,
actually, with two vacancies right now, you're building up a reserve, right?
Yes, sir.
Further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, it passes. Anything else? All right, thank you. All right, we'll move on then to the next item on the agenda, which is... you have a budget resolution?
Yes, we do.
We can do that, or the initial resolution with Donald Gunderson from Ellers. Whatever the committee chairs.
Should do Ellers first, would be my pleasure.
Yeah.
She's here. She's right here. So that's what I think we should do.
Yes, Ellers?
I like to put Ellers first.
That was what I was doing.
Thank you.
General obligation.
I was just saying thank you.
Resolution.
I appreciate it.
I think we have to deal with the budget as a whole now, and then we'll do the initial resolution. Okay, so now you've had the chance to look at all of the different departments. That was all the tentative votes. This is your opportunity to make any changes. I'm not suggesting that you need to or want to, but this is your... Those all votes before were recommendations, and you're certainly free to endorse that or change it. So, Chair would entertain any kind of motions that you want to make at this point. Jeff?
I'll make a motion to put in the budget resolution that... as long as the... getting rid of the sheriff's trucks failed, I would like to put it in there that they are to get sedans or SUVs.
Okay, so the proposition, the same...
Leave the cars because nobody wanted to take those out, but I want them to be sedans or SUVs.
Okay, same dollar amount.
Same dollar amount.
Okay. Is there a second?
Is this what we're talking about, the policy?
No, I think he was amending the budget to place a restriction.
I don't know where that would go, whether it would go in the budget resolution, I would think, or right into their line item. That's...
Well, we'll get the budget resolution in a moment, but right now you're moving to amend the budget with respect to the bonding for the sheriff to restrict the expenditure of the vehicle money to either sedans or SUVs.
I could
not
have
trucks.
Said it better.
That's what I thought you meant.
Yeah.
No. Is there a second on that?
I'll second it.
I thought you made a motion.
I'm not getting any help here.
The chair rules out a nice try.
Says it's puppet. All right, is there a second on that? All right, seeing no second, it failed over one.
Oh, I can't second it.
Yeah, you can't second
it. Well, you'll have an opportunity on the board floor.
If I may, though, off of what Supervisor Gentz is getting at is, I had the same issue with spending that occurred this year, was that when we bonded, we were under the impression they were buying Explorers. Nobody knew about the trucks until they were already here. And that's what I had an issue with, is that the sheriff got his money and spent it on trucks when that's not what we were led to believe he was spending on. So, I can't help you out in your motion, but I do support it.
All right, moving on, is there any other discussion on the budget? Right now, there's no motion on the floor.
I move to present the budget as amended, approved it. As approved by us.
Okay. Is there a second to that?
I think John has something. John.
Nothing passes. John. All right.
I guess we don't have a budget.
Yeah, John.
Yeah, I'll make one further shot at the capital budget. I'd like to remove $500,000 from the facilities HVAC replacement. Remove $100,000 from the golf course improvement, and remove $100,000 from the parks design costs, and $50,000 from the sheriff's operations capital project, and remove $25,000 from human resources other professional services.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second it for conversation.
All right.
Without
Jeff.
These are
John, do you want to speak? Why don't you speak there first? Go ahead. You're the proponent.
This is just a last chance to try and modify the budget before we vote on the final capital items.
All right. Further discussion, Jeff?
So just to make it clear, you're just moving this down, right? You're not eliminating the bonding. Just so I'm clear on what you're doing.
Most of that would be moved to 2021. Yeah.
These are reductions, not eliminations.
Okay.
I
cannot support this. I think that we're doing a disservice to our taxpayers, and that's all I'll say at this time.
I guess the question I have is, what are we taking out? We don't have the department heads to ask what they're losing by doing this, so I think we need that information. What's the $500,000? What was it for?
That was rather fully discussed yesterday.
Yes.
Was it?
Yeah, it really was.
The HVAC.
I mean, one way or the other, but it was pretty much discussed. That was.
What was it?
It was the HVAC on the roof, and they brought in, or they did. Yeah.
So then they're going to put that off for another year? Is that the idea?
No, they spend five. There would be $500,000 left, correct?
And yes, there was $1 million.
Well, I understand there was 2 units in one, but that would.
There was $1 million this year. It was $500,000 next year. The suggestion is reducing $500,000 this year with $1 million next year, if you so approve. But that's the presumption. And we had a long, very interesting discussion about that.
Well, I guess I'd ask the question. For my own information, there's always been a resistance to the capital outlay, and we get that resistance on the floor, and then we do something here, and then we get that on the floor, and then that argument kind of continue up there to get something else. I mean, I don't. We're doing this to obviously. A certain group on the board wants to eliminate some of the capital improvement. I'm not against not borrowing it if we need it, but I'm just saying, are we going to get, I don't want to say a commitment, but are we going to get some kind of assurance that this isn't going to, not going to get that fight up there again?
Okay, John, maybe Kenny, that's a good question. Is that something you respond to?
I mean, you can't speak for anybody else, but I'm not asking
you
to
you
speak
took the
for
words right out
just,
of my
I'm
mouth.
I'm throwing that out there for, because I don't want to go through that again up there, you know.
Dan? Did you want to speak to that or not?
Yeah, if you would like me to.
I would.
The removal of the $500,000, obviously, we moved to 2021. I'm just going to clarify what Supervisor Poole said, the golf course improvement will be moved. $100,000 actually will be funded, the Park Development Fund. So, obviously, we're looking at dropping the bonding down. As I think we've had trying budget, trying to be fiscally and financially responsible to the taxpayer and tell our employees that we're going to give them the raise that they deserve. So there's been a lot of moving parts on this budget. I don't think, with what Supervisor Poole said, we're saying we're not doing anything. One's moved off. There is money for the HVAC project, so I would support what he said.
I think Ron's question, though, and I didn't know if you could address that or anybody could. I think was a legitimate question as to whether or not that would encourage compromise support from perhaps some people who would not otherwise.
Well, I'm under the assumption there would be support. Okay. There would be good support for this. So Supervisor Poole said, I can't tell.
Nobody can guarantee anything.
No, nothing guaranteed. But I think we're moving in the right direction. How's that?
Anybody else want to speak to that particular point, which I think is a valid point, Zach?
I think what we're doing is we're not forgetting about these projects. And
I understand that.
And so what we've kind of come to go off what Chairman Esposito said is we're doing a lot in this budget this year, and I think we're doing a lot of good in this budget, but we're trying to take it slow without jumping into everything right now. What we're telling the departments is we're going to do your projects, but let us do... You know, instead of doing what you wanted to be phase one first, let's take the cheaper end of that. Let's do this. We're going to finish your projects, but you know, we've done raises. You know, it looks like we're going to buy more sheriff's cars. We're doing a lot this year. With the health insurance, we're trying to ease into it. It's not that we don't want them to get their projects done.
I'm sure.
So,
thank you.
Gabe, you want to speak to that
question?
I think that's the question.
Sure, I do. There was a lot of discussion going on, of course, you guys know, and also in the committees and everything, where there was many requests and many things. I believe by doing this, and again, like everybody else said, I cannot speak for anybody else, but I believe it will bring support to go through with the budget.
Fair enough.
Yeah, he's asking whether the binding will pass.
So, well,
nobody can guarantee anything.
Talks for themselves. I mean, when I take a vote now, I'm ready to take a vote. But we cannot talk about anybody else. But my feeling is that by doing this, it's in the way I see it, it's going to be a big.
I got you.
Okay.
You would support this.
I can commit myself.
I'll take that as a yes.
If anybody else will commit, I will commit.
Obviously, I'm going to lose this vote. Okay? And I can appreciate that. I may not be quiet on the board floor about this because you've all heard me speak about this same thing. And what I'd like you to remember is in a year or two when we go after much more bonding that we keep pushing off and pushing off, what is it we're going to be borrowing them at? What is the interest rate going to be then? So we think we're saving money now by pushing borrowing off, but think about the time value of money being at 1.5 now. Thank you.
Hey, yes, Bill.
I have a comment. That is, I can see where Supervisor Poole's proposition is intended to build more broad support on the planning board floor. Understand that, very pragmatic. When I take a look at the proposals that are made, though, coming from my background in public works, the one thing I would not want to do, I'd place on the retention idea, would be the HVAC in the roofs. And anyone who owns a house knows the first thing to take care of is your roof. Don't let that go. And they've been very methodical going through with their assessment of roofs and so forth in a timely manner. And of course, in this case, you have to do the HVAC for the roof. So pragmatism is one thing, but good public policy, good stewardship of the buildings you own is another. So with all due respect, if you have to make a compromise, do so, but I would not muddy that area. I would not change it. Thank you, sir.
Yes.
If I can add to that, I know you mentioned something about the roof. It's not going to change any time. The roof is going to be replaced. If it's going to be replaced, it's going to stay. The deadline or the date that they're going to replace the roof is going to be the same day. So basically, the roof is projected to be replaced in 2022. The HAVC is going to be done prior to that, so they can go ahead and do the roof when it's for that.
Yeah,
it's not going to change that.
Yeah. This doesn't pay for the road.
No.
This money. Anyone else who has spoken? Jack?
To Supervisor Gens, I get what you're getting at. Rates are low. That is a very important aspect to understand. But on the flip side of that, too, we don't know where the economy is going to be in a year from now. And are we borrowing now hoping the economy is going to be where it's at and ignoring the fact that, and I don't personally believe it, but a recession could happen, and then we find ourselves like, when you, I was too young to, I was alive, I'm not that young, but you guys were dealing with that problem when I was in grade school.
Oh, Pampers.
With the recession, and I mean, I think that's, don't borrow, you don't want to borrow when times are well, because times that are tough could be right around the corner that we're not, you know, that we're ignoring because things are going so well.
I believe in borrowing money when money's cheap.
Absolutely.
All right, further discussion, Barna?
I have a question. Are any of these items funded with levy or any type of funding other than being just moved off? Because I have to do the changes, I would like to make sure that we laser focus on.
This is all bonded.
They're all off
the bonding.
It's all off of bonding.
Oh, no, except the $25,000 from professional services for the
HR.
But are any of these projects will be with it, could they be funded in a different way?
So that would go on a tax bill.
I imagine the parks project design costs could be funded with park development funds.
Could all of them?
Arnold, what's your question?
My question is, are any of these projects that are being taken off, will we be funding them in another way other than bonding?
Well, it hasn't been presented as such.
$50,000, it says, to be funded with levy in my paper.
Oh, I don't have that paper with me, so can I see?
You know what, you can have mine.
Okay.
Yep. Here, that'll answer your question.
So we're going to increase the levy by $50,000?
No.
Okay.
That would increase the levy by $50,000, but then the last item was decreasing the levy by $25,000.
Yes.
So we're going to have a $25,000 increase in the tax levy.
I believe this will still keep us under.
I don't know, I'm just repeating what I'm hearing.
Should still keep us under the 25.
I think Gabe's got an answer. 3, 2, 4, 8,
something
like that.
May I?
This removes a total of $750,000 bonding.
Correct.
It removes $25,000 from human resources professional services line item.
Correct.
That's it. How does that increase anything? It decreases it.
$50,000 would be funded with levy based on what I'm reading here, and the $100,000 parks project design costs will be funded with park development fund revenues. Okay. So I can make those adjustments. So,
well, I heard the motion, and that wasn't part of the motion. The motion was removing $500,000, which is bonded for the HVAC, $100,000 from golf course improvement, which was bonded, $100,000 from parks project design cost. That is levy money?
No,
that's currently bonded.
And that's all he said.
That's, I'm sort of repeating the motion. And $50,000 from the capital project of the Sheriff's Department, that's bonded.
Correct.
That's
And $25,000 from human resources professional services line item.
Correct.
That was the motion.
Correct. I was asking.
It didn't flip, though. I see, I'm reading, I got the same thing you do. But I'm telling you what the motion that was made said. It didn't flip it over to operation. The motion did.
It just
removed it. Correct?
Okay. I was just verifying what the motion
is. That's what the motion says.
Okay.
It didn't flip it to operations. I see what's in front of me. But
okay. I didn't have the piece of paper,
okay.
So I'm going.
But it's not flipping it over to operations. The motion is.
Okay.
If you disagree, speak up. But I heard the motion. That's what it said.
I heard all bonding. If it's going to be levy stuff, then I'm going to have to talk. If you're moving stuff onto the levy from this.
I just repeated the motion.
Yeah, I know.
The answer is no.
Okay, good. I'm cool.
Yes.
Well, no, but
that's not what the motion. So
the departments that are involved in this. Motion through the chair.
Yeah,
was there any conversation with the entities that we're dealing with here, Public Works and what have you?
Are you asking whether or not
are they aware of it? So that's
I don't know. I'm not trying to originate the motion, so I'm just repeating what the motion is before.
Were they involved in the in this motion at all?
It would be yes, sir. Are they know what's going on? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
They all do. So.
Does the county executive know? Yes, sir.
There's two things we're dealing with here. Going to Ron's question was, we're dealing with the budget tonight.
Right.
Then we're going to deal with the bonding later on. We might do something tonight, but the bonding is going to be later on. After we get done on the floor with the budget in November.
These are all budgeted in the public. Approved tonight, though. The capital project.
The bonding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the bond resolution is a different item, but yeah, this is part of the budget. Okay. Any other discussion on the budget?
Yeah.
No.
Yes, Gabe, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just want to add something, and I believe I'm right, but please correct me if I'm wrong. By reducing 750,000 roughly on the bonding, it's going to reduce the debt service next year, too.
In 21, not 20.
Yeah.
Right.
So which that will bring that part of the levy.
Yeah.
That's too. Correct.
But not in this budget.
Right.
Because we paid the debt service in six-month installments.
Yeah. So just to clarify, the last item on the list, $25,000, that was concluded that is bonded?
No. That's the professional services line item is not bonded.
Okay, so that's the exception to the...
Correct. So the other items, as the motion was stated, were all bonded items. And there was nothing in the motion about shifting it over to the levy.
Correct.
That's already in the levy.
Am I correct, John? You're making the motion.
I was paying attention to something else. What was that?
Could we take that one item that would increase it if we just take that out and make the motion less that?
What's that again?
So we don't really raise the levy 25,000 by doing
it. No, we're not going to.
The levy's not.
No,
the
no that doesn't.
No,
okay.
The way the motion was stated, it does not.
The levy's not going to be raised.
Okay, yes.
Just to clarify so everybody understands, what the part of the levy that you guys are kind of getting caught up on is already... It's in the levy now. They're reducing it in the levy, so it's bringing it even that levy increase even a little bit farther down. We're not flipping any bonding into levy dollars under the current motion on the floor.
Discussion further. Okay, did anybody require me to repeat the motion?
No.
Okay,
sure. Go ahead and repeat.
All right. Okay.
Take a bunch of bonding.
All right, $750,000 is being deleted from the bonding. $500,000 of that, HVAC. $100,000, golf improvement. $100,000, parks project design costs. $50,000, sheriff's operation equipment capital project. And $25,000, human resources, other professional services. That's not bonded. And none of this is flipped into the levy as the maker of the motion.
Stated,
yeah. I don't care what the sheet says, but I'm repeating what the maker of the motion says.
We go first and second.
All right, further discussion on that before we go? We'll do a roll call.
I'll vote no twice.
Ron,
oh,
but you're only going to be counted once.
Could we pretend I'm in Chicago?
All right,
John. You can put both hands up.
Ron, you voted aye.
I voted aye.
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 John. Ed.
Aye.
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 Aye. It passes. Okay. All right. Does anything else that you want to revise in the budget that we've so far approved? All right, hearing none, does somebody want to then now move the budget as amended?
I move the budget as amended.
Okay, is there a second? John? All right, further discussion? All right, seeing none, we'll do another roll call. Jeff?
No.
Ron?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Ed?
Aye.
Josh?
Aye.
Aye. All right, it passes with one dissent. All right, that moves that item forward. Why don't we, we'll do the initial resolution authoring the issuance of the notes.
Okay.
And yes. You want to present that, Don?
Someone's coming up with a tree.
What's the easiest way to do this?
Yeah. Sure.
Thank you.
There's two for each.
Two?
Oh.
I got the 85. Yeah. Okay. 14 and 8.
And then those are extras.
I'm glad you don't have send us an email to have us print it all out. The printing's on you. This is where the big bucks come.
Okay, so
spreadsheets, I'm telling you.
What did you?
This is how you run your budget when you have your house, your family, you know? Give her a 10-year budget.
This is how you get your wife to not take part in the
budget. Yeah, right. She doesn't pay any of the bills anymore. I have to do it all. I'm glad it's all electronic now.
Daddy? Daddy?
Yes, I'm sorry.
I don't know. Do you want me to go ahead and start?
Yeah, go ahead.
I got one listed.
Which one?
Who's next?
Who's missing?
Wamble.
Oh.
Excuse me.
Oh, I thought it was Eddie Power.
Dad, I'm going to do this twice.
Make a motion that we stretch our legs for 5 minutes since we can't continue.
I'll second that.
All right.
What? It's a little early for that. Nature call.
We'll see you tomorrow.
All those in favor?
All right.
You make it ten minutes. Done.
How much time? Make it 10.